Nearly 50 years ago, Len Ragazin formulated the idea of speed ratings. Today, the Ragazin sheets are still America's premier speed rating product. Who uses Len Ragazin speed ratings? Trainers use the Ragazin sheets to place their horses. Breeders check the Ragazin sheets before making million-dollar decisions. And jockey agents consult the Ragazin sheets when choosing which horse to ride. But most importantly, the Ragazin sheets are used by players like you. The Ragazin sheets are available online at thesheets.com. Our website also offers free introductory material, including an online seminar. You can also receive free introductory material by calling us directly at 212-674-3123. That's the Ragazin sheets at 212-674-3123. Ragazin, the most respected name in racing.
Want to bet your favorite horse but can't make it to the racebook? South Point Casino's racebook has the answer. Come in and sign up for the Nevada Racebook mobile app. For just a $50 minimum deposit, you'll have the racebook right at your fingertips, no matter where you are in Nevada. It's convenient, fun, and easy to use. When you do have time to visit, South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. Whether you want to come in or play from the comfort of your home, South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Have you heard the news? You can get free Formulator Pass performances with DRF bets. Sign up to get the best bonus in racing with a $250 deposit match and a $10 free bet, plus free Formulator Pass performances. Enjoy all the perks of using Formulator with projected odds, trainer patterns, race and horse notes, replays, and more. Never pay for past performances again. Just use the promo code WINNING when you register at drf.com/bet. That's winning at drf.com/bet. It's post time for Thoroughbred Los Angeles, the most informative and profitable hour of horse racing found anywhere. Thoroughbred Los Angeles is brought to you by Del Mar, reminding owners and trainers to maximize your earning potential at Del Mar this summer. Ship and win. By the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, where the action never stops. By Daily Racing Form, exclusive past performance content provider for Thoroughbred LA. By Legacy Ranch, home of California's newest stallion Forbidden Kingdom. And by HorseBills.com. Enjoy billing made easy through HorseBills.com. By the newly renovated OC Tavern. Satellite wagering is back in San Clemente. By the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. It pays to own a cowbred. By the Ragazin Sheets, the most effective handicapping tool available. Get the sheets. By the Gas Lamp Tavern. Satellite wagering is now available in downtown San Diego. By Los Alamitos Night Quarter Horse Racing. Sometimes your best day of racing is at night. By Bruce Finkelstein's BetOnBruce.com. Selections from Southern California and key race meets across the country each racing day. And by the Derby Ring at Fairplex Park in Pomona, where every horse player gets the VIP treatment. And now, here are your hosts, Bob Ike and John Lindo.
And welcome to Thoroughbred Los Angeles, a Saturday edition. I'm Bob Ike. I'll be joined by John Lindo in just 1 minute. We kick off the three-day Memorial Day weekend starting today. Santa Anita 10-race card. It's Gold Rush card, where it's all cowbreds today in five stakes races. Belmont at Aqueduct has an 11-race card that kicks off a little after 10 a.m. Gulfstream Park, also 11 races today, and we'll have coverage from Churchill Downs as well. They have a 10-race card. And to talk about all that and much more, let's bring in co-host John Lindo. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. I tell you what, we're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, we've got the cowbreds today at Santa Anita. We've got the Grade 1 races on Memorial Day out there. So that's going to be a really good card of racing. But, John, we got a lot to talk about before then. And the first thing is, The Preakness is in the rearview mirror now by a week, but people are still talking about it, still talking about the incredible win and the trip that journalism overcame to win that race. So let's get your thoughts. I'll give mine. Everybody sees races differently. How did you see it? Who was to blame? Who wasn't to blame? Was it a lot of bad luck? How did you see the Preakness, John?
Well, let's call it an eventful race to be nice. I tell you what, journalism was in a good spot early, saved all the ground around the first turn, and the leaders, you had Clever again on the lead, and it looked like he was going pretty easy. Going into the far turn, journalism really wasn't picking up the leaders at the 3/8 pole. And as he started to inch a little bit closer, Umberto recently had to make a decision. Do I go out and around the leaders and try and pick him up that way, or do I cut the corner? And he decided to go inside. And then when he did, the leaders started to back up. Clever again on the front end, and right next to him was goal-oriented, the Bob Baffert horse. And Rispoli had to try and basically bull his way between the two horses on the lead. And when he did, he got the shoulder of journalism right into the hip of Gold Oriented on his outside. And when he did, Gold Oriented kind of leaned in a little bit because he was kind of pushed out and sent toward the inside. And it was, just a pinball action there. And in the meantime, Gosker, in a clear run on the outside, opened up on the field. And he got about five lengths clear just outside the eighth pole. When journalism finally got through, I thought, he had no chance at all. And here he comes rumbling down the outside, and he got the money. It was unbelievable that he got up to win the race. A lot of trouble in there. There's been a lot of speculation, who was at fault. And for me, Bob, my opinion, I thought journalism and Rispoli tried to get into a hole that wasn't there, and they kind of forced the hand to kind of leaning into goal-oriented, which kind of turned him and, as a result, Flavien Prat and goal-oriented, they kind of drifted in a little bit. And poor Clever again on the inside, getting bounced around and right up against the rail. He got shuffled out, ended up last. But, in a race where these horses really, really went at it, I'm interested. We're gonna have a special guest on later on to talk about how journalism came out of the race. But just a miracle he won the race on the horse that, we talked about. In fact, you gave the riding instructions to Umberto for the Derby, stay clear. And I think if he does, he probably wins this race a lot easier than it had to be. I thought he was 7 or 8 lengths the best.
Yeah, I see it similarly, John. I thought the one thing I will say is down the backside, I didn't think journalism was picking it up. I thought he was off the bit. In fact, in my head, we all watch races. We all kind of are thinking what's happening. And probably around the half mile pole, I said, this horse is getting nothing today. He's out of horse. And if you watch the drone shot, at that point, Rispoli started to move outside, and I think he felt the same thing. I believe at that point in time, he did not feel he had enough horse to circle the field. He felt he needed to save ground, and that's what he did. And he ended up getting in a very bad spot. I think Clever again came back earlier than expected. They thought that was the horse to beat, and they figured he would keep running. Well, he was stopping at the top of the lane. And Flavien Prat on goal-oriented, he was giving no quarter there. He was keeping Rispoli pinned in. I know that's his job, but at that point in time, I thought goal-oriented was, I won't say out of horse, but he certainly wasn't going to win the race. And I thought Flavien Prat could have relieved a lot of pressure that was down inside had he just moved out a little. I'm not saying give a saloon passage to journalism, but he could have relieved pressure. I understand when his horse got hit in the rear end, it turned him in. He may have been changing leads at the same time. So, John, in summary, maybe it was nobody's fault. Maybe this was just a situation where the circumstances, you had a horse stopping on the lead, you had a horse, journalism, who the jockey thought maybe didn't have enough horse, Flavien Prat doing his very best to keep journalism pinned in, but I thought maybe he was a little over-aggressive, and you know what I think of Prat. I think he's the greatest rider in the country, but in this particular spot, I thought he tightened it up, and he could have relieved pressure. Let's just put it that way. So we see things similarly, but a little bit different on the two trips there in our evaluation. But it's still being debated. That's the thing. And John, had journalism gone outside and won by five, we wouldn't still be talking about the race the way we are, because what we saw was something incredible, a horse running down a horse on the lead who had about a five-length lead at the eighth pole. It was remarkable, John.
Absolutely. He had no business winning that race after what happened. And you just wonder a little bit, did they empty the tank a little more than they needed to with the Belmont coming up, you know, 3 weeks after the Preakness? And, you know, we'll find out more about that. But obviously journalism is a horse that wants to beat you. And you get he overcame trouble in the Santa Anita Derby to win. And he's just one of those horses. He's got that big, long stride, and he just gets in that rhythm, and he'll just looks like he'll go all day. And he really is special. I think a lot of people really were exposed to how good he is. We've seen him in California now, you know, for quite a while, and we've always had that opinion that this horse might be special, and he showed a lot of it last Saturday.
Well, we're going to have his trainer on in the start of the second segment, Michael McCarthy, so we'll get his thoughts. We'll get to his what he was thinking there at the top of the lane, how the horse is doing. So please stay tuned after the break. Michael McCarthy will be coming on. John, what are the early probables for the Belmont? I mean, this could line up as a really good race, assuming journalism comes out of it good and goes into the race.
Well, right now, the field looks a little bit light in numbers, and that's because the Derby winner, Sovereignty, has been pointing to this since the Derby win. Baeza, who was third in the Derby, he worked six furlongs yesterday. He's on track to go. We'll find out more about journalism, but if everything goes well, he's intended to run in the Belmont Stakes. So that's the 1-2-3 finishers of the Derby. Rodriguez worked seven furlongs for Bob Baffert yesterday. He's probable for the Belmont Stakes. You have the Peter Pan Stakes winner, Hill Road, for Chad Brown. He worked this morning. He is on track. And then the fifth-place finisher from the Preakness, Heart of Honor, is scheduled to go in the Belmont. That's a field of six right now. And so, right, you know, depending on who goes, you've got the, you know, the top three in there. It might keep this field down as far as field size.
But it will have quality, John. Hey, let's switch gears. Let's talk about what's happening locally, because Santa Anita has the Gold Rush card today. All 10 races are cowbred races, five of them stakes, good field sizes. And John, shows again how much the cowbreds bolster the racing out here in California.
So important. I have a lot of respect for all the breeders who put these horses on the track. You know, it's been tough the last few years as far as business-wise decisions to breed your horses and keep the cowbred production coming, but they deserve a day like this to be honored. Five stakes races for cowbreds today. Hats off to all these owners and breeders who keep the cowbreds coming, because they make up the majority of our fields on a day-to-day basis. And even through the weekend, even though there's 10 cowbred races today, there are some big fields of cowbreds the next 2 days as well. So terrific for them. Best of luck to everybody. And all the breeders deserve an award just for what they've done and what they continue to do to keep California racing going.
And we wanted to preview one of those. It's the final race on the card. It's the Snow Chief, a mile and eighth on the turf. These are three-year-old colts and geldings. John, this is an interesting race because none of them have run this far. We've got some sprinters stretching out. Distance is going to be the separator here, going nine furlongs. How do you see the 10th and final?
Right. The distance is the key. Who's going to get the trip? I thought number five, Bro-Bro, stretching out for the first time going a mile last time, was a pretty easy winner beating Cowbred Allowance horses. And the way he did it, he looked like he had plenty left in the tank. He's by Nyquist. I think he'll get the mile and an eighth. And he's also tactical. He won off the pace sprinting, so even though he went wire to wire last time, if somebody else goes, and there is some speed in this race, I think Bro-Bro can relax a little bit. And I'm just going to trust Doug O'Neill and Humberto Risley that this horse will get the mile and an eighth with the right trip. He's 5-1 on the program. I think that's value at the windows. Cali Cat comes off a good effort down the hill against Open Company in the John Shear Stakes. He was beaten half a length. Now, he stretches out. He did break his maiden going a mile at Del Mar last summer, so he can get two turns. And, again, coming out of the Open Stakes back in with Cowbridge, he looks like a live item in here. Got Soul has improved since he stretched out. He's had two route races on the grass. He's won both of those. And, again, he's tactical. And you have, a sharp horse for Legacy Ranch, Western Freedom, coming off of two big dirt sprint wins. He's by American Freedom out of a Western Kitty mare, so I'm not sure if he really wants the mile and an eighth, but he's got a big, long stride. He's drawn inside. I think he's got a chance for an upset in here. It's a good race to finish off the card, top to bottom. I don't think there's any standout, but I'll lean a little bit toward Bro in a wide-open snow chief.
Well, John, you put out the Lendo report today, full coverage from Santa Anita. That's always promoted by the South Point. Also, let's mention not only the phone number, but the great thing they do for veterans out there on Memorial Day.
Phone number of the South Point, 866-780-7223. Ask for Steve Johnson. He'll tell you how you can get your Thoroughbred LA horse players rate. And a tradition every Memorial Day, a free buffet, garden buffet for two to all the military. So you're going to see some long lines out there. But these guys get in line and they tell stories to each other. It's a terrific tradition. The military folks out in Nevada take advantage of it. And hats off to South Point for providing a free meal for the military on Memorial Day. I think it's a great tradition.
Where are we going for your radio pick, John?
I'll go to race two. This is a two-year-old race, obviously, for Calbred today. I think number five, Shady Stripes. You watch the workouts. This horse breaks like a quarter horse. He's very quick. Or she is very quick, excuse me. I think she'll clear the field as long as she breaks. And if she runs like she works, she's going to be awful tough to catch today. 5-1 on the program, number five, Shady Stripes, race two at Santa Anita. And, Bob, you did your sheet today at Santa Anita. Let's get a radio play from you.
Races 1, 8, and 10 on my sheet today, $112 in the late pick 5. I'll be putting out my sheet all 3 days this holiday weekend. And let's go to the 8th race, which is the Crystal Water. I know the heavy favorite in here, Kings River Knight. If he runs his race, he's the horse to beat. He's the 4-5 favorite. Last time out, may have needed the race, drawn down on the rail. But he's also 7 years old. Maybe he's not quite as good if he has lost a step, and he's won this race 2 years in a row. If he has lost a step, I'm looking for number 6, Clouseau, to be the possible upsetter in here at 9-2. This is a horse who's won 4 of his last 5 starts. I always thought he was better on dirt, but I sure like the way he won on the turf last time under Hector Berrios, George Papa Padromo, the trainer. So let's go to the 8th race today. Number 6, Clouseau, at 9-2 will be my radio play. Well, let's take our first time out. When we come back, Michael McCarthy, the trainer of journalism, and Bruce Finkelstein from betonbruce.com. Please stay tuned. You're listening to a Saturday edition of Thoroughbred Los Angeles on AM 830 KLAA and on the Angels radio app.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Where the turf meets the surf, where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. You could be flying on an airplane, catching a fast train, or jumping in your car. Come on to Del Mar. Everybody's gonna have a smile on their face, cause somebody's gonna win every single time there's a race. Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Where the turf meets the surf, where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Where the turf meets the surf.
The Del Mar Ship and Win program is back. Out-of-state horses that come to Del Mar receive a travel stipend and purse bonuses for every start at Del Mar. For details, go to DMTC.com or contact David Jerkins in the Del Mar Racing Office at 858-792-4230. Owners and trainers, maximize your earning potential at Del Mar. Ship and Win.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Where the turf meets the surf,
right now,
down at Old Del Mar.
From the breeding shed to the winner's circle, Legacy Ranch prepares your young horses the right way to maximize your success. Located in Clements, California, the 145 acres of Legacy Ranch provides large pastures and grass paddocks. New to the Legacy Ranch Stallion roster for 2025 is the brilliant Forbidden Kingdom, winner of the San Felipe Stakes at Santa Anita. Fast, classy, and precocious, Forbidden Kingdom is a great opportunity at the introductory stud fee of just $5,000. Don't forget to check out perennial California leading sire Clubhouse Ride and Lightning Fast Straight Fire 2. For more information or to schedule a visit to Legacy Ranch, call Farm Manager Terry Knight at 510-928-4980 or log on to LegacyRanchInc.com. Don't get left at the gate. Be part of the winning team at Legacy Ranch.
Attention Inland Empire racing fans. Watching and wagering on the races just got easier. The Derby Room located at Fairplex Park is open and ready to serve you. Watch and wager in the newly renovated Derby Room on races across the country starting at 9 a.m. each Wednesday through Sunday. Televisions throughout the Derby Room will keep you up to date on all sporting events. Add in great food and a great atmosphere and you'll have the ultimate horse player experience. For upcoming promotions, go to thederbyroom.com. Thederbyroom.com. See you at the Derby Room, 2201 North White Avenue in Pomona.
Now more than ever, it pays to own a cowbred. The bonus for registered cowbreds or cow-sired horses winning maiden special weight races in restricted and open company is $15,000 at Santa Anita and Del Mar. The bonus is $10,000 for similar races at Los Alamitos and in Northern California. Have a foal by an out-of-state stallion? Make that foal a cowbred by breeding your mare back to a California stallion. It's that easy. Lucrative Breeders and Owners Awards are available for winning qualifying races in California. Take advantage of all the CTBA incentive programs to maximize your California racing earning power. For more information, contact CTBA at 626-445-7800 or log on to ctba.com. That's ctba.com.
G'day, this is Michael Rona, and you're listening to Thoroughbred Los Angeles on AM 830 KLAA.
Welcome back, Thoroughbred Los Angeles, Bob Ike and John Lindo. And John, we talked about our big cowbred day today. We don't particularly have a cowbred of the week, but as you said, let's just celebrate all the cowbreds. We've got over 70 of them running on today's card.
Right, and the Thor's Echo Stakes, the Franz Valentine Stakes, the Mel Air Stakes, the Crystal Water Stakes, and the Snow Chief Stakes, part of today's 10-race card, all for cowbreds. And again, congratulations and that thanks to all the owners and breeders putting these cowbreds on the track on a daily basis for us.
We're still waiting to try to get a hold of Michael McCarthy. Elise is dialing him up and blowing up his phone, but in the meantime, we do have Bruce Finkelstein from Bet on Bruce, so let's bring in Bruce. How are you doing today, Bruce?
Hey, Bob. Hey, John. How's it going, guys?
We are doing well, and if we get Michael, we're going to have to sit you down real quick, Bruce, and bring you back in the game like you were in foul trouble.
I'll check with the scoring table before that.
Okay. Hey, let's preview one of the cowbred races today, the Franz Valentine, that goes as race number 6. And here, it's a field of 7. Looked pretty wide open. How'd you see it, Bruce?
You know, this was a race I really liked today. I was so happy that I was able to preview this race, probably my best gamble on the card. I'll tell you a horse that's really caught my attention is the 5, Blevy's Tiger.
Not a problem. I'll follow you.
Who has come off a 7-month layoff. Let's talk about her 2 races off the bench. She ran on the downhill course. She got beat in nose by the race favorite, Lovely Idaho. Considering the layoff and the trip, what happened? She got carried out at the dirt crossing, and I thought she was eliminated. She got carried out so wide, but she made a second run, put her head down, was beaten in nose, loved her effort. Fast forward to her next race. She's the heavy favorite. She's not ready at the break. She's throwing her head up at the start. The starter sprung the gates, and she was off slowly. She just came back on and made a wide looping move. She was easily the winner, gear down at the end, loved her 2 races off the bench. She now tries a mile. The only time she's tried a mile before was against Open Company at Del Mar. I want to give it another chance. She likes to win races. I've loved her 2 races coming in. So in race 6, let's go with the 5, Blevy's Tiger. She's 6-1 on the line. Horses to beat in the race are the obvious number 1, Sneaker, and the 3, Prancing Through Paris. They both have the credentials to be used, but I like the up-and-comer, the 5, Blevy's Tiger.
And Bruce, you gave us a winner in Lunar Impact last week, $7 in the misdirection. John Lindo, why don't you go ahead and jump in and get Bruce's first radio play?
Right, Bruce, before I get that first play from you, what do you have on betonbruce.com today?
Full card analysis at Santa Anita with the late races from Aqueduct. Also, that includes audio. We have best bets at Santa Anita and the last 6 races of the card at Churchill. I think this is an excellent program today at Churchill, races 5 through, I believe it was 11, we did online.
Okay, well, how about a first play? Do you want to go to Churchill for a play?
Yes, yeah. You did a first-time starter that at Santa Anita, John. I'm looking also at a first-time starter. Go to the 6th race. This is a neat race. It's a 100 grand claiming race, maiden race, and there's lots of ways to go here. But on the workout that I've seen online, there's a horse that has looked sensational, I thought, is the 9 Timbo's Mischief. She is a Tennessee bred. You don't see that very often. She's by a Kentucky bred stallion, so it's not like she's a poorly bred horse. But the two workouts I saw were the last two. The May 9th workout, this horse worked in a team of 3 guys. She obliterated her workmates. She won by open lengths, could not have won by a bigger margin. And look at the time, 46-3, best of 55. I even liked her slow workout a week later when she worked against the older male multiple winning allowance horse, Thomas Aquinas, or Aquinas. And she, I thought, worked better than the more accomplished older male in that workout. I liked what I've seen. They're obviously protecting a little bit, running for 100,000 here, first time out. So let's go in race 6 with the 9. Timbo's Mischief listed at 12-1 on the morning line.
And Bruce, do you want to come back for a second play at Santa Anita, or you're going to stick with Blevy's Tiger?
I'm sticking with Blevy today. I like that. I really like that. I would have chosen that race anyway. So let's go with the 2 plays.
Okay, Blevy's Tiger is Bruce's Santa Anita play again, race 6. That's the 5 horse at 6-1 on the morning line. Bruce, I assume everything going for the whole 3-day holiday weekend, correct?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Kind of today is a little bit of the appetizer today. No graded stakes races around the country. It will get rolling the next 2 days. Looking forward to it.
BetOnBruce.com. Thank you, Bruce. Have a great day.
Take care, guys.
Hey, John, we're still waiting on Michael. We're going to see if we can pull him in before this break. So, John, just let's do a couple news and notes. Maybe we'll break early, try to get him afterwards. $67 million was bet on the Preakness Stakes, which shattered the all-time record. Racing's alive and well when you put out a good card.
Absolutely. And what they're seeing, too, the win, place, and show betting is up on all these total wagers. And that's because of the phone apps now and the betting that you have online as part of these other things that are available. They don't have all the exotics, but you're seeing players playing the win, place, and show bets on maybe some of the sports betting apps they have available, and it's moving that needle.
Hey, we've got a special guy on right now. His name is Michael McCarthy, and he's a 2-time Preakness winner. How does that sound, Michael?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Hey, known you for 30 years plus, and I told a story at our Derby seminar up in Vegas, and you probably don't remember, but it's etched in my mind. We were out having a few adult beverages about 30-some years ago at a place called Jimmy O's, or maybe it was J.J. Maguire's back then, and it had been a particularly tough day for me at Del Mar, so when I went up to the bar, I only came back with 1 beer, Michael, and you called me a lot of names that had the letters M and F in there. But to see where you're at now, it's just very gratifying to see where your career has gone and kind of where you were back then. I think you were probably an assistant for Doug Peterson. But just what a career arc. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was really thirsty that night, too.
I let you down, and, it still kind of bothers me. So next time we'll open up the tab and celebrate journalism. The race has been talked about, and you've been interviewed 100 times, so we don't need to rehash everything about the race. But just 2 things from my perspective, and then I'm going to turn it over to John Lindo. Top of the stretch, when your horse is trying to squeeze through and you've got 3 horses playing bumper cars, what was your level of nausea at that point in the race?
Actually, it's kind of funny. More or less, I was just worried about the horse. In real time, when this is happening, I noticed the kind of purplish colors that Jose was wearing, and he certainly shifted and looked like he was kind of on top of the fence. And then I saw Flavienne and the turquoise and journalism somewhere in there. It was hard to really tell. My initial reaction was, I hope horses and humans are okay. They were. Then when he started picking it up, coming, you know, to the 16th pole, and it looked like he was fine, I thought to myself, I can't believe this horse is going to put up another fantastic effort and have nothing to show for it. And what he did basically in the last eight jumps was just crazy. Still kind of mind blown by it.
That's what I wanted to, that was the second part of my question. I know horses are not supposed to pick it up after they've run almost a mile and 3/16, but my eyes were telling me this horse hit another gear in the final 70 yards with the acceleration. Is that what you saw? And if so, what an incredible will to win this horse has.
I think so. Someone showed me some sort of a metric where his stride had actually had increased by nearly 2 feet in the last eighth of a mile. So that just goes to show you what these horses are like, what, you know, a top-class racehorse is like when they have the will to win. It was certainly on display Saturday. You saw what it was like with a horse that wasn't taking no for an answer.
John Lindo.
Michael, first of all, congratulations. You know, those of us in California who have got a chance to see journalism run for quite a while, we already saw him overcome trouble in the Santa Anita Derby. He did it again in the Preakness. Now, I know he's already up at Saratoga. He's already galloping. In a perfect world, going to the Belmont, if everything is going right, what are your plans as far as breeding the horse maybe once or even twice going into the Belmont Stakes?
I'm sure he'd probably have just an easy piece of work 6 or 7 days out before the Belmont. You know, he's up there. We've put him in a position to go ahead and be there if he's showing us signs that he's as he was before the Derby and before the Preakness. So nice, cool weather up there. Looks like he's got the main track, you know, all to himself at times. The horse population up in Saratoga isn't quite to capacity yet. So it's a good place for him to be. It's a good place for him to recharge his batteries. We'll kind of see where we're at next week and come up with a game plan.
And as far as the entry day, you know, when will that decision be made? Entry day, will you have an announcement before that? What is the timeline for this?
Yeah, there's really no timeline at all. I don't feel like there's any real pressure to make a decision right now. So, like I said, we would certainly want to see how he gets over the racetrack and what he's showing us before we make any kind of decision.
Well, the good part is I trust you and I trust your ownership connections to do what's right by the horse, and I know that's what's going to happen. So knock on wood, hopefully we'll get to see him take on the Derby winner against Albert D. It'd be a heck of a rematch. You're showing the depth of your stable this weekend as well. There are four graded stakes at Santa Anita this weekend. Your barn is participating in all of them. You've got Princess of Time tomorrow in the Santa Margarita. And the one horse I wanted to bring up, Formidable Man, who comes off a win in the Kilroy Mile last time. You know, after 11 lifetime starts, you pulled the blinkers off him last time after being on the pace in the Pegasus, and it looks like you found what he really wants to do as far as style goes.
Yeah, I think obviously nothing worked as planned in the Pegasus at Gulfstream Park. He was heads up for the lead and insane fractions. So I'd thought about taking the blinkers off earlier, but he kept on running and winning with them on. That was basically what I needed. I guess I'm a little bit stubborn like that. That was the impetus for removing the blinkers, hoping he would settle and relax. And it certainly seemed like it worked in his favor the other day. Shoemaker Mile's always been a very, very tough race to win. It's one of the premier mile races in the country. So looking forward to seeing what Monday brings.
And then just a real quick hit on Expensive dropping, moving up into the Hollywood Gold Cup. The older handicap horses, that division may be a little bit ripe for the taking.
Definitely. He's a horse we've had high hopes for all along. Was a little bit slow to mature, but things are going his way now. A mile and a quarter isn't easy by any means. But the way he went the other day, won the other day going a mile and a 16th and galloped out 7, 8, 9 in front, I thought in the back of my mind that something like this would be worth a try. And look, if it's a touch too far for him, we could hopefully get the opportunity to wheel him back in distance in something like the San Diego Handicap. And, you know, there's plenty of races for a horse like him all over the country, so I hope he continues to improve because he's a horse that I've thought quite highly of for some time.
Hey, Michael, we appreciate your time again. Congratulations. Go up there and win the third leg of the Triple Crown at Saratoga, my friend.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, that was Michael McCarthy, winning trainer of the Preakness, twice now, John. Journalism, that effort was something, I think, if those metrics are right and he extended his stride another 2 feet, it showed what I was seeing with my eye. Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. He had no chance to win that race, and he got up. And, again, we've kind of thought, you know, this horse might be special, and he might be proving it right now. I really hope we get to see that rematch in the Belmont. That would be something.
Late on the break, when we come back, John Hardoon from the Rags and Sheets and Scott Shapiro from ExpressBet and DRF. You are listening to a Saturday edition of Thoroughbred Los Angeles on AM 830 KLAA and on the Angels radio app.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Nearly 50 years ago, Len Ragazin formulated the idea of speed ratings. Today, the Ragazin Sheets are still America's premier speed rating product. Who uses Len Ragazin speed ratings? Trainers use the Ragazin Sheets to place their horses. Breeders check the Ragazin Sheets before making million-dollar decisions. And jockey agents consult the Ragazin Sheets when choosing which horse to ride. But most importantly, the Ragazin Sheets are used by players like you. The Ragazin Sheets are available online at thesheets.com. Our website also offers free introductory material, including an online seminar. You can also receive free introductory material by calling us directly at 212-674-3123. That's the Ragazin Sheets at 212-674-3123. Ragazin, the most respected name in racing.
Can't make it to Del Mar from downtown San Diego? The Gaslamp Tavern is now open for satellite wagering. Located just blocks from Petco Park, take advantage of the great food and beverage menu while watching and wagering on races across the country, including Del Mar. Post time each day is 10 a.m. Get into the action before walking over to your next Padres game. Group reservations and private parties are welcome, too. The Gaslamp Tavern, 868 Fifth Avenue in San Diego. For more information, log on to GaslampTavern.com or call 619-858-8862. Make sure to say hi to owner Rick Borbo when you cash in your next winning ticket at the Gaslamp Tavern. See you at the Gaslamp Tavern soon. From Santa Anita to Del Mar, to key race meets around the country, Bruce Finkelstein's Bet on Bruce has you covered. Full card selections and featured races throughout the country available every racing day at betonbruce.com. Get advice on multi-wager ticket structures and improve your return on investment with Bruce Finkelstein's betonbruce.com. Bet on experience. betonbruce.com.
Exciting nighttime weekend action continues at Los Alamitos with another great weekend of quarter horse and thoroughbred racing at the track of Sunsets and Stars. We'll have great racing action on Saturday and Sunday night. Make your plans to join us for the trials to the Ed Burke Million Futurity on Sunday night, featuring the top juveniles at Los Alamitos like the record-setting freshman Accelerated and many of the recent eye-catching juvenile winners. And racing fans, tonight don't miss racing's best bets, our early and late pick fours. And remember, we'll also add 10,000 to the pick six on Sunday night if there's not a carryover. And racing fans, Los Alamitos is open daily for the best of the simulcast action from around the country. For Vessels Club reservations on Belmont Stakes Day, call 714-820-2681. Or join us at Burgart Sports Bar. This edition of the Belmont Stakes could be one for the ages. It's the track of Sunsets and Stars, Los Alamitos Racecourse. We're all about the horse players.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back, Thoroughbred Los Angeles, Bob Ike, John Lindo. Let's get right to John Hardoon from the Rags and Sheets. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, John. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. What are your conditions today at Belmont at Aqueduct?
Well, it's overcast. The rain finally stopped, but it looks like they took the 4th and 11th races off the grass. The rest of the races remain on the turf.
And, John, you guys are dark in New York next week, right? Bring us up to speed on the schedule with that Belmont Festival that starts up at Saratoga. What's the schedule for NYRA Racing?
Okay, so they're going to run through Monday, and then they're going to take off to the following Wednesday. So it's actually they'll be dark for about 10 days. They resume on Wednesday, June 4th, and they run straight through Sunday. So they run Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all up at Saratoga, and that's to schedule.
Well, that's great. You guys have a little break leading into that. It'll be a huge festival of racing, so you'll get to freshen up a little bit and come out firing for Wednesday, June 4th's card. John Hardoon, we wanted you to preview the Paradise Creek Stakes. That goes as the 10th today at Aqueduct, 6 furlongs on the turf. How'd you see that one?
Well, that's actually going to be one of my two radio plays, Bob, and I love the number 7 horse in here, Supersonic Blue. This is a 3-year-old gelding for the Neil Drysdale barn. Last seen coming down the hill at Santa Anita. This horse has 3 career starts, and each race is better than the previous one. Palladium Pratt takes the mount, 9-2 on the morning line. I like number 7, Supersonic Blue, to win today's Paradise Creek, the 10th and featured race out of Belmont Park.
Well, that's one radio play down. You gave us 2 winners last week, Witty at $7.80, Fort Washington at $12. Those both winners at Pimlico. John Lindo, why don't you get Hardoon's second play?
Well, John, as I get your second play, let the listeners know what tracks you're covering today first.
Well, today we have Churchill, we have Belmont at Aqueduct, and we have Santa Anita Selections.
Okay, and how about a radio play? I don't know if you want to go to Churchill or Santa Anita for your other play. We've got one in New York. Where do you want to go?
Let's go to Santa Anita, look at the opener, the first race today. It's a mile on the turf for maidens, and I like the number 8 horse in here, Winter Snow. This is a 5-year-old mare from the Jeff Mullins barn. The horse obviously has had physical problems. She only has 3 career starts, but she ran very well last time out when making her first start back off of a layoff. Hector Barrios for Jeff Mullins, 9-2 on the morning line. Number 8, Winter Snow, graduates and wins today's opener out of San Diego.
And tell us what's available today at the website, John.
We have Churchill, we have Belmont at Aqueduct, and we have San Diego Selections, JONHARDOON.com.
Thank you. Have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy a little break next week, and we'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe and be well.
That was John Hardoon from the Rags and Sheets. Let's bring in Scott Shapiro doing work for Express Bet DRF. Good morning, Shapper.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing great. No Shappy Hour today. I guess you're just big day Shappy Hour, huh?
Take some time off. It's more the audience doesn't show up quite as much. I talk horses 7 days a week, but the audience tells me to kind of keep it to, 30 to 40 times a year instead of 52.
You know, some places open at 6 a.m. in the morning, and they have customers in there shaking it off from the night before. But, Shappy, that sounds good. Hey, preview the Kirtana Stakes for us, please. That's the 9th at Churchill Downs, a mile and a half on the turf. Looks like the field came up a little bit light.
Yeah, not the strongest of stakes fields, but it's a non-graded stake. So good opportunity for some allowance-type horses or maybe some that have fell short on the graded stakes scene, 250K at a mile and a half. You know, the one to beat is probably Tarnima off a troubled trip at Keeneland last out. Strikingly spun for Joe Sharp and Jose Ortiz, who have both been red hot. Makes sense. I like Sugar Ree a little bit, though. She was beat by Tarnima in the last couple of starts. But she came back, not the last start, but the prior one. She had a better trip last out, but didn't the start before. She's the best finisher in this field, and I think it's going to be an honest pace. So I'll try number 6, Sugar Ree, at 9-2 in the Kirtana, which is a big purse, but not a graded stake.
John Lindo, what do you have for Mr. Shapiro?
Well, you know, Scott's always looking around the nation for plays. I don't know where you want to go today, Scott, but I'm willing to listen. Do you have a play for me?
I do. I'm going to go to my old, I guess it's my old sweet home or whatever it is. I'm going to go to Churchill where there's actually the finale, John. And number 10, maiden special weight, three-year-olds and up going the one-turn mile. And I like number 7, Facton here. Not going to be a big price, 3-1 on the morning line. But this is a horse that ran a good second last out on debut for Will Walden to a horse named Big Truzz who came back to run second in one of the Derby Day finales. Running into Patch Adams in an allowance race. But Big Truzz is a serious Brian Lynch runner. And I think Fact ran really well to finish second in a good allowance, our good maiden special weight at Keeneland on April 12th. Luis Saez has been red hot. He'll jump aboard. So I'll go with number 7, Fact, in race 10 at Churchill today.
All right. Scott Shapiro's, you got a little natural double there, too, if you're right in the Kirtana there. So thank you, Scott. And we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys. Good luck this weekend.
All right. That was Scott Shapiro. John, a couple quick notes before we take our time out. Kyle Frey was involved in a nasty spill yesterday when his horse clipped heels. He went down hard. Looks like the x-rays came back clean, and he's hoping to ride today.
Right. He put something out on Extra Twitter last night that he was back home with his family. He said he was a little body sore, and he hopes to ride today. So we'll check the late changes later on. You know, obviously, they could come up a little bit sore today after a fall like that, but glad to see he's okay. And the horse is actually okay. It was down quite a while, but the horse was able to walk back to, you know, got to ride back in the ambulance, but walked into the ambulance fine. So it could have been a lot worse than it turned out to be.
And, John, a note that you passed along to me, the stewards back at Pimlico, they took a look and reviewed. There was an inquiry, obviously, in the Preakness, but they looked at the jocks, and nobody got fined, nobody got penalized, but Junior Alvarado still looking at that $62,000 whip fine for going two strikes over in the Kentucky Derby. I guess the good news is, John, they said that might be reduced to $31,000. So, you know, those were costly, those two extra poppers.
Yeah, what a deal, huh? I mean, you win the Derby, and you watch that race, and I still don't know what he did wrong. Obviously, the rule is six strikes, and all right, that's fine. But then you got these guys playing bumper cars in the Preakness with horses that are worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but that's the game as it stands right now.
Let's leave it there and take our final time out. When we come back, Toby Callett and Michael Rona from Los Alamitos. That's the final segment of Thoroughbred Los Angeles on AM 830 KLAA and on the Angels radio app.
AM 830.
Where the turf meets the surf, where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. You could be flying on an airplane, catching a fast train, or jumping in your car. Come on, Del Mar. Everybody's gonna have a smile on their face, cause somebody's gonna win every single time there's a race. Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Where the turf meets the surf, where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar.
The Del Mar Ship and Win program is back. Out-of-state horses that come to Del Mar receive a travel stipend and purse bonuses for every start at Del Mar. For details, go to dmtc.com or contact David Jerkins in the Del Mar Racing Office at 858-792-4230. Owners and trainers, maximize your earning potential at Del Mar. Ship and Win.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Where the turf meets the surf,
all right now,
down at Old Del Mar.
Satellite wagering has returned to San Clemente at the newly renovated OC Tavern. Located just east of the 5 Freeway at 2969 South El Camino Real, the OC Tavern has outdoor public seating, a fully renovated dining room, updated food and beverage options, easy parking, and a great satellite wagering room. Catch all your favorite sporting events, never miss a big race, and enjoy the views of the Pacific. Fun and games await you at the OC Tavern in San Clemente. Come back and check us out.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Want to bet your favorite horse but can't make it to the racebook? South Point Casino's racebook has the answer. Come in and sign up for the Nevada Racebook mobile app. For just a $50 minimum deposit, you'll have the racebook right at your fingertips, no matter where you are in Nevada. It's convenient, fun, and easy to use. When you do have time to visit, South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. Whether you want to come in or play from the comfort of your home, South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back. Final segment of Thoroughbred Los Angeles. And John Lindo, if you can't be out at the track today to see live racing, how about some simulcast options?
Well, it's about 8 minutes to post for the paddock on 5th down here in San Diego in the Gaslamp Tavern. That's at 868 5th Avenue in San Diego. Working our way up the freeway in San Clemente, you have the OC Tavern that is open and ready to go at 2369 South El Camino Real Road in San Clemente. Los Alamitos up and ready to go, and obviously your stomping grounds, the Derby Room, they're already ready to serve us, right?
They are, and I'll be out there tomorrow. It's going to be right in the middle of this three-day great holiday racing weekend. And let's now get back to Toby's Turf Club, another great simulcast location. Good morning, Toby.
Bob, you must have been reading my mind. I was wondering where the plug was for Toby's Turf Club, and there it was. Thanks a lot.
Well, we're on the same wavelength today, Toby. No sheet to promote, but we definitely want to get a pick from you. Let's dive right in. Where do you want to go today, Toby?
I'll take you to race 8 at Gulfstream that did have 7. Unfortunately, the one Northern Plain is gone. This is a race I think that if we can extract some value by my little hidden sneaky, this might work out well. I like the obvious favorite in here, the 2 Granmo, the first. A really nice colt from last year. You guys got to see him late in his two-year-old year out of Santa Anita. I think he's getting Lasix for the first time. I think he's primed in a great spot. Running style fits perfectly. The reason to play the race is by using the 4 Abrir Cumanos. This is a Amador Sanchez trainee. He's the guy that brought Hector Berrios back to North America. He's using a rider that he likes to use. He always gets value with this guy, Marcos Meneses. This horse has never been around 2 turns. I think he's been begging for this, and I think he's going to hit the ticket. So we're going to play a 2-4 out the door in today's 8th at Gulfstream. If you like tries, short field, 2-4-all, 2-all-4. If you like something else in there, make it 2-4 with the number you like. 2 with the number you like with the 4. I think we can make lemonade out of lemons in today's 8th at Gulfstream Park.
Very good. 8th at Gulfstream. Let's key around the 2-4. Let's get the 4 and the number, Toby, at a price, and we'll spend more time next Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, that was Toby Kellett. Final stop, Michael Rona. He's the track announcer at Los Alamitos. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you, Bob.
Michael, I saw on Twitter you posted yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe 35th anniversary of your arrival in the United States. You came over with your race calling idol, John Tapp, and there were some pictures and some videos. So that was great to see, Michael. 35 years in the country.
Thank you. Yeah, that was on Wednesday, and it is difficult to wrap the head around the passage of time. It's been quite the journey, and of course, it began at Hollywood Park under Marge Everett back in 1990, and I've come full circle geographically back to Southern California with plenty of stops along the way, out of state, variety of experiences, and I've spent well over half my life in the United States now.
Excellent. Well, great. Michael, we are very glad that you decided to come over. Hey, talk to us tomorrow about tomorrow night's trials, the Ed Burke Million Trials, Sunday night.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we had the final to the Kindergarten Futurity, the first of the season. That's a grade two, but this time we're heading into the first grade one $1 million futurity of the season. There are 12 trials tomorrow night, meaning three pick fours. The place pick all will operate on races 1 through 10. And there are so many brilliantly talented juveniles coming into these races tomorrow night. It's an entire 12-race card of quarter horses with the 10 fastest individual times getting into the $1 million final to be run on Father's Day, Sunday, June 15. The first race has a filly called The Lady is a Vamp, who was sensational on debut. Trainer Paul Jones is describing her as the best two-year-old he's had his hands on since Ed Burke Million Futurity winners Foose and Separate Fire some years ago. The fourth race features Muscle Max, who has left a string of subsequent winners in his wake from his mid-April debut. Plenty of horses have come out of that race to win since. Muscle Max has been kept on ice and steps out just for the second time in his career in race four tomorrow. I'd be very interested to see what he does. He's got tremendously strong form lines behind him. Race nine, well, it could be a mini final. There's so many horses, including Accelerated, who is the all-time highest purchase at the Los Alamitos equine sale. He brought $850,000 as a yearling last year. He won his debut very impressively. There are several other horses that could qualify. In fact, I'm sure we'll get multiple qualifiers to the final out of race nine tomorrow night. So that's just a little sampling, but from top to bottom across tomorrow night's 12-race card, outstanding talent, beautiful breeding, should be a great night of quarter horse action, one of the best of the year.
Well, tomorrow night's a long way away, John Lindo. What are we going to do tonight? Jump on in with Michael.
Michael, I just want to check now. First post time tonight is 6:10. You've got the 12 races tomorrow night. Is it the same first post time?
Yes, actually, we're heading into the same post of 6:10 both nights. Obviously, Sunday night will be the finish.
Excellent. Well, good. As far as tonight, no stakes races, but it's a good wagering card. As usual, we got to get a radio play from you.
I think there's a bit of value to be found in the first leg of the late pick four. That's race six, a 1,000-yard allowance for fillies and mares. Number five, Blackjack Betty, was really good off the layoff, came in for her seasonal debut when a close third last time out really galloped out well. She finished and galloped out strongly. She's had a very snappy three furlong drill since then. I think she's kicking over pretty well and feeling her oats for trainer Gennaro Vallejo. And I think she'll get a nice trip because the three and the four are both confirmed speedsters. The two, who's ahead of her also on the morning line, has plenty of pace. And Escobedo re-rides from the outside post in the small field. I see a nice trip unfolding. And I think she's rounding into some form. So it's 6-1 in a five-horse field. I think there's a bit of value there with Blackjack Betty, number five in race six.
Thank you, Michael. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. I want to thank Elise Inside. Fantastic job. Mike Willman's here from 8 to 10 tomorrow. John Lindo, thank you very much. Stay tuned. Andy Harris and the SoCal Restaurant Show. We will talk to you again next Saturday.